Been kind of a streaky up and down season thus far, but with 12 games left in the regular season, the Flyers hope they've got it going in the right way. With our latest Flyers Roundtable with Steve Coates, Bill Meltzer, Jim Jackson, I'm Tim Saunders. Guys, it has been kind of streaky. I hate to use that word, but when you go winless in five, have a 12-game point streak, a five-game dip again, it looks like, and this is kind of an old hockey axiom, that when streaks are ending, there are telltale signs. When you're winning, maybe you're not playing great at the end of those streaks, and the opposite is true. Are we seeing that now?
I think so. In fact, if you really look at all their streaks this year, including the 10-game winless streak early in the year, you can find games within those streaks where they played better in those games than they did during the good streaks. The 10-0-2, there were some games in there they probably didn't deserve to win. They snuck away with points. So it's been really strange that way. But here I think the last three games, and we're talking after the loss to Vegas, I mean, the last three games they've played very well. Boston game should have won, I thought, or at least gotten a point out of it. Beat a good Winnipeg team, and then I thought played well against Vegas too, but nothing to show for. But this time of year, guys, moral victories don't exist. You got to get points.
The biggest thing is that the Flyers still control their own fate here. You know, that's what you want this time of year. Obviously, this game against Columbus is going to be a huge determining factor, and the Flyers still also have an edge in the tiebreaker categories and the teams that are pursuing them. So all those are good things if the Flyers can build on the positive things they've done, you know, in the Boston and Vegas game. So it's not, you know, it's certainly not ideal to have seen a cushion get smaller and smaller and smaller, but it's also not the end of the world when you're in control of your own destiny.
When you take a look at finishing, that's the big problem for me when you watch this hockey team right now. It concerns you when you're watching a hockey game, and I think the Ghost put it perfectly. He says he can't afford at this time of year in March to have that happen. And you just got to be conscientious of what you're doing in your own zone. I mean, it's 60 minutes, and to be scored on with 22 seconds to go in Boston, and then the other night, you know, against Vegas with 2 minutes and 40 seconds, it's you can't have that happen. You just can't have it happen.
They weren't fluky goals either, right? They were breakdowns.
No, yeah. You got people open. Yeah. I mean, you got people open, and you've got to pay attention to what's going on around you, but at the same time, look away from the puck, and that's what's happening. Everybody's getting mesmerized by looking at the puck, and you got to get a point at least in these games. That's so important right now.
And Jimmy's right. I mean, all that matters is wins and losses. You can talk all you want about playing well. It really underlines, Bill, the fact that there's very little room for error, especially this time of the year.
Especially tight checking games, you know, low scoring. I mean, other than the Tampa game which was, you know, just a crazy game. I mean, the Flyers have scored two goals or fewer going back to that win in Montreal. I mean, that, you know, three is kind of the magic number a lot of times in the NHL. You're going to score two, it's hard to win a lot of nights.
It's an oversimplification because there's obviously a lot more to it, but the truth is, if you look at the wins lately, you get games from your goaltender like they have from Peter Mrazek at times, that changes everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's so important. You just can't – that soft goal is so deflating. It's always deflating, of course, all year, but now you get into these games where, as you say, Bill, three goals – and pretty much win you the game, and if you give up one bad one, boy, it just can kill a team. So you have to have the good goaltending, no doubt about that. You know, you were talking about, Timmy, and I think about it with this team in terms of scoring so few goals. They're not getting any offense from anybody outside of the top two lines. And really, there's even players, Couturier struggling, Lindblom still without a goal, and they're both getting scoring chances. They're just not finishing. But then the bottom two lines, Jory Lehterre is it, right? They have not had goals from the bottom two lines in a long time. You got to get a little bit of help there. I think that would help them just get to the three-goal mark as opposed to the two-goal mark. Just get a little help from the bottom two lines, or at least spend a lot of time in the offensive
zone. That's kind of what separates the haves from the have-nots, right? Come playoff time, isn't it third and fourth lines that often dictate outcomes of series?
Yeah, obviously that's a big part. But I want to get back to talking about the haves and have-nots is this team can't win at home. And that's a huge problem right here because you've got to win your home games. That's why you fight the whole year to be able to get home ice advantage. Well, what would be the advantage here? Well, you're looking at the numbers here right now. You're basically saying we should start on the road because they're a better road team. And the problem I have with the way that this team plays is they don't play as if they are on home ice. You've got to take advantage. You've got to dominate. You've got to make the other team feel uncomfortable. And they don't do that, and that's why they get into these games. And, hey, any team coming in here, they've got a chance.
Coach, do you think that at home they try to put on a little bit too much of a show? We see a lot of East-West at home. And we hear Dave Hextall talk about north-south, just get the puck in sometimes and go after. But at home, you know, you want to make that pretty goal. You want to please the fans. Do you see some of that?
Yeah, you do see it, but I don't know if it's putting on a show. I don't know why that is. It just bothers me is that we don't come out and see a team dominate, come out and say, guess what, boys, we're going to come after you the first 10 minutes. Just make it – I mean, that might be – living in the past, but why can't you do it in your own building?
Yeah, they haven't done that all year, really.
Not this season. Yeah. And that to me has been one of the biggest puzzles of the season, because the Flyers have been much better on the road this season than they were even when they made the playoffs 2 years ago. And if you look at the home records, the three seasons leading to this one, you know, it was 53, 54, and 55 points. That's a very good home team.
Right.
But this season it hasn't been there for whatever reason.
Let's focus on some of the increased roles from early in the season to now in the second half. There are a handful of players who have taken on a way bigger chunk, a bigger role. First on that list is obviously got to be Nolan Patrick. 3 goals in his first 40 games, and he's become the player, I think, at the second half that they hoped they had.
Oh, he, you know, and the points only tell you part of the story with him. You just watch the things he does out on the ice. He's pretty conscientious defensively. He still makes mistakes. Hey, he's 19. He's going to. But, you know, when he's on the ice, you're now to that point where you feel something good is going to happen with the team. So they have a good 1-2 punch there at center. Moving on, Travis Konecny obviously has been huge here in the second half. And you got guys like Ivan Provorov. The other day, you're looking out there for that second power play unit. It was like 4 21-year-olds or less, something like that out there. It's just incredible. That's the thing about this. They got to make the playoffs. No question, this season is not a successful season if they miss the playoffs. But there have been here in the second half, what we talked about when we did one of these right about halfway through the year, that development, the younger guys taking a bigger bite out of the team has happened, and that is huge for this franchise moving forward.
I agree with everything that was just said. I think that the emergence of Konecny, we were worried about even having him here at the beginning of the year. He was playing so poorly. Everybody said, well, maybe some time in the American Hockey League. Well, guess what? He gets an opportunity to play with Couturier and Giroux, and bang, all of a sudden you got a good situation there. Nolan Patrick moving up, and all of a sudden, what triggered that? I mean, who cares? I mean, the man just went from 0 to 60 in about 5 seconds and became a second-line center in the National Hockey League. It allows you to move Voracek to his natural position, playing the off-wing. You can move Lindblom. The addition of Lindblom has been scary. Has he scored? No. But bottom line, he looks comfortable. He looks like he belongs. So now you got all these things fitting in. Who would have thought that Robert Hague would be as good as he is? Right. Robert Hague. I mean, over 200 hits in the National Hockey League. Robert Hague.
Yeah.
I mean, they were wondering if he even make the hockey club. Everybody talked about Travis Sanheim. Well, Robert Hague.
Yeah, and Sanheim's come up now, and he looks like he can still be a really good player that a lot of people talk about. And they have the best team in the American Hockey League, and they have some tremendous, as Bill knows, prospects that aren't even at the American Hockey League level yet. The future's bright, but I think the fans right now, especially in this town, thanks to the Eagles, it's about the present.
So secondary scoring is obviously a topic that every team is in tune to. Dave Hextall has an affinity to veteran players, I think, thus Yuri Laterra, who's come up with a couple of big goals lately. So if they can get offense from, like we said, their third and fourth lines, they're going to be a whole lot better off come playoff time.
I think Yuri Laterra has really, really improved, not because of anything else, but probably opportunity to play. I mean, is he slow of foot? Yeah, he's a little slow of foot, but the bottom line is, who cares? As long as he does a great job along the wall, he's a smart player, understands where to go, what to do, pretty strong over the puck. No, really strong over the puck. So if you could get that group to be able to provide not only the energy and the time in the offensive zone, offensive ability then or scoring ability, that's going to be even make your team that much better.
Definitely, and when you get that help from the bottom six of the lineup, or the defense as well, because the Flyers could use a few more contributions again from the defense core. You know, when you look at the depth of this team, you know, you see a lot of guys in the kind of the depth group who are in double-digit goals this year. You know, Raffel, Philpla has 10 goals and 31 points. You know, that's it's not bad for that spot of the lineup. You know, just unfortunately, everybody's kind of collectively not scoring right now. The Raffles and, you know, those kind of guys. Getting some contributions from those guys in all these low-scoring games would be a huge help.
The constants have been the key guys. Claude Giroux, among the league-leading scorers. Jake Voracek has been a monster all year. Is there reason to be concerned about the other guy up there, Sean Couturier? He's gone 12 games after the Vegas loss without a goal. I don't see a whole lot of difference in his game, frankly.
No, I mean, he's still getting the scoring chances. I mean, that's what all coaches point to, right? If you're getting chances, they're going to go in. He was the one who said earlier in the year, everything I touch seems to be going in, and that's obviously not happening right now. I'm not as worried about that. I mean, he did, you know, you want him to eliminate the stick on the game winner in Boston. When you start seeing those things, you start thinking maybe there's some fatigue. I mean, going into the game, or actually in the middle of the game the other night against Vegas, he had more ice time than any forward in the NHL. That's not going to hold up because Barkov's going to pass him. He's got more games to play. But bottom line, he's going to be up in the top three or four in terms of forwards' minutes played per game. So he's played a lot of hockey, but I really wouldn't – I don't think it's fatigue. I mean, if he had scored a goal or two here or there, we wouldn't be talking about this. I think his play is still solid.
And I think also if you look at his breakdown in the first half of the year, he was getting a lot of goals and not – you know, more goals than assists. And in the second half of the season, he's picked up a lot more assists, and mm-hmm. I think some of it has to do with the change in line mates. You know, Voracek being such a playmaking type, you know, there was more scoring opportunities for him, and now he's picking up more assists. Konechny is more shooting-oriented anyway, so that, you know, that's followed to some extent, and pucks will eventually go in, at least as long as the chances are still coming.
I think when you take a look at Couturier, he's a flat-out horse. I mean, he has arrived. He's the real deal. And for him not to be able to put the puck in the net, sure, that hurts right now. But I don't think there's anybody in this team better along the wall in a one-on-one battle than Sean Couturier, because he does it correctly. He doesn't fish for the puck. He gets his body up against the wall. He uses his skates and his stick, protects the puck, and does a great job. And that helps his line mates. All the little things that he does, both in the defensive zone and the offensive zone, to make his line mates better and his team better on a night-to-night basis is just unbelievable. So scoring, that'll be a bonus once it happens again.
When matchups become so important, especially in playoff series against deep teams, obviously the Flyers' best matchup is that Couturier, that top line against the other team's top line. Do they have matchup issues after that? Because you got a rookie as your second line center.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the question, right? Can Nolan Patrick handle being out there against the top lines? Because on the road he's going to, and even at home sometimes he's going to. Well, yeah. And, you know, and I don't think Nolan Patrick is one of these guys who, you know, it used to be maybe 10 years ago, these guys come up through junior or even through the college ranks, and they have to take a year to figure out how to play defensively. It's already in his blood to be that way. So I think he'll be fine. He's got the size to handle big center icemen too. There will be mistakes, but, you know, that comes with youth. I mean, Ivan Provorov hasn't played a playoff game yet either. He's going to make mistakes. All these young guys are going to make some mistakes come playoffs should the Flyers get there. So you're going to have to live with some of those. But the matchup situation, I think it might be more of a problem beyond that second line.
That's what I was going to say. In that Pittsburgh game, you know, they had they had Filppula's line,
right.
You know, and he ended up against Crosby, and they had, you know, as you would expect, you know, the same boat as a lot of teams, right? The Filppula line really had a tough time against right. Crosby. The Couturier line kind of canceled out the Malkin line, and actually Patrick's line did really, really well against Brassard's line. You know, they benefited from that matchup actually. So I think more in terms of, you know, can the depth guys, the Filppula lines, the bottom six, handle their matchups if they're out there, you know, in shutdown kind of roles, and that remains to be seen.
Be nice if the Flyers could get back to what they had at the beginning of the year. When you think about Lawton, was out there with Raffle and Lear, I believe, at the start of the year. That was a real good fourth line. It was an energy line. They spent a lot of time in the offensive zone. They turned momentums of games without scoring necessarily, but they were still spending a lot of time in the offensive zone. If they could rediscover that kind of magic with one of those lower lines, it would be really helpful.
That was an exciting line, and I think that's the difference in the fourth line personality right now. This is more of a heavy fourth line. I mean, getting Lawton going again would be a big plus. And, you know, I don't think we have to worry about matchups right now. I think more looking at just let's get to the playoffs and worry about the matchups after that. We're not jumping. I mean, it's something you have to discuss. Please, I'm not disagreeing with that. But the bottom line is that there's a lot of things happening right now in the standings.
Well, 3.5 weeks left at the recording of this morning. Six at home, six on the road. They've been good on the road all season long. Coach, I go back to what you said earlier. I think they do have to be better dictating play at home. Make this a hard building to play against for opposing teams.
All you got
to
do is win your home games and you're in. I mean, when you take a look at it, it's an opportunity to be able to get your fans into the game right off the bat. If you come out, you really show what, hey, we're here to we mean business. This is our building. And if you can get that going, it becomes contagious because then everybody on the team knows it. The fans get into it. They know, well, this is what we're going to expect from our hockey team. And if they start it, I'll tell you what, it'll be hard to stop.
On a final note, I think the one thing I like about this club, no matter what happens in the last 3.5 weeks, is from the coach on down, the leadership group of this team, I think over the course of the year, all the ups and downs they've been through, I think the leadership group of this club is pretty strong.
That's when you really, you know, when a team has adversity is when you really learn what a team is made out of. And the way that they stuck together through the 10-game winless streak, not getting too high when things were going well, and the way that the way that the group kind of pulled together, and honestly, I mean, they it could have completely gone off the rails and, you know, for months ago. So, you know, I think it's an optimistic sign that with these closing games of the season that they can pull through here.
Well, you're going to face adversity. If you get to the playoffs, you always face adversity in the playoffs. So this team has already faced its fair share of that and has been able to push through, as you say, without cracking. There are, Coach, you were part of teams. I mean, sometimes you lose and it just goes away. The team breaks apart, starts to, you know, pointing fingers and so forth. That never happened with this club. So they've been through that. They're going through some adversity with some tough games here down the stretch. You got to, as we said earlier, you know, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. And this team's pretty strong, I think, from that standpoint, heading into the stretch run.
I don't disagree with anything. I think that absolutely is true about this group. This is a very solid group, and I think it starts with the coach and the coaching, the team of coaches, because I think that when you take a look at this team and how they react and then how they're prepared, I think that they're very well prepared. I think that when you take a look at the moves that this coaching staff has made to make this team better, I mean, this team was just kind of going along and whether they're going to make the playoffs. And at one point, they were right there to be in first place. That tells you about your coach and your way your team reacts to your coach. And I think Dave Hextall's done a heck of a job.
One win in the last several handful of games, but the last three, I think they're playing the right way. And I like the attitude of this team. They're looking at the teams ahead of them right now and not the ones behind them. With our latest Flyers Roundtable, for Steve Coates, Bill Meltzer, Jim Jackson, I'm Tim Saunders.